around the house this Arizona Saturday morning. One of the great things Arizona is not necessarily known for is a huge quantity of geological hazards, like excessive flooding, earthquakes, mass movement. Although there have been some very high-profile mass movements. It was just in 08 where the entire Beeline Highway 87 had a mass slide that actually slid underneath the highway. Can you imagine what that must have felt like as you were driving down the highway and then all of a sudden there are literally waves in the asphalt?
Yeah, well, and up there by Page, they had another big section of the freeway. Is that the same one? I don't know.
No, completely different, but yeah. Exactly the same situation.
Right.
Both highways were closed. I don't know that the one to Page is open yet.
No, they're still working on the fix for it.
You're still making that 80-mile detour all the way around. Wow, absolutely incredible. And you've got that landslide and rock falls. Then you've got subsidence.
Correct.
I saw a picture in one of the geological books where Eloy has sunk 15 feet. And that was in a survey that was done in 1952 and then checked again in 1985. And they haven't checked it since. That's 20 years ago. I think someone should go to Eloy and check it.
It's not a bad idea.
I mean, in between 52 and 85, the town of Eloy sunk 15 feet.
Yeah, that's over a very large area. I mean, that whole basin towards the south is going down. It's not just the little area of Eloy.
I would love to see what a current survey would tell you. My first encounter with a fissure was in about 1968. I was riding a motorcycle across the desert north of Bell Road in Scottsdale, and I was following someone. And this is like, you know, within a year or 2 years of arriving in Arizona. And we're flying across the desert floor, and all of a sudden I'm in the sitting position with my hands on no handlebars, sitting on no motorcycle. And I'm flying across the desert, do a beautiful nose plant at about 40 miles an hour right into the... I lost my bike. I mean, I literally flew over a fissure and the bike just disappeared from under me. And that was my first encounter. Northern Scottsdale had many of those back in the 70s before we subdivided and built on all of them.
Correct.
And yep. There's still issues that would have to maybe be dealt with today.
Right. I mean, subsidence does occur when you have a lot of well pumping with water. It's just one of the natural things that happens.
All right. Let's get back to the phones. We've got a lot of people. We have Andrew, Diana, and Doug. One open line if you'd like to jump in, talking geology, soil problems, homes foundations, cracking, all of those things with Bob Brown of Arizona Foundation Solutions. Open line at 1-888-767-4348.
Andrew, welcome to the program. Go ahead with your question.
I listen to you guys all the time on my work commute every Saturday. I learn a lot and have no clue of anything I remember. But what I did have a question about is what you guys are talking about. If he does an inspection and he finds something and then the homeowner says, nah, I don't feel like correcting it right now, is it a law that he has to report it? Because somebody who buys his house is now in trouble.
Andrew, that's a great question. Bob, how do y'all handle that?
Well, the only time we're really obligated to report it, because it is stamped by our engineer, is if it's a health, safety, or a life safety issue. And I can't think of really a time we've had to do that in all the years. So, I mean, obviously, if the person's going to sell the home, they're required by law and the SPUDs to disclose all that kind of stuff. And there's certainly been a lot of lawsuits where people haven't disclosed it, and the buyer comes back against them and wins fairly regularly for not disclosing.
Well, Bob, you and I are kind of peripherally. I'm peripherally involved. You're directly involved with a home right there next to Papago Park that was sold, and the homeowners have actually had so much settling and heaving. They've got holes inside their house, 8 foot by 8 foot, that all the plumbing under the house had to be redone. I mean, that's a typical situation where they actually got a fair amount of recourse against the realtor and the homeowner and the home inspector that missed everything in the transaction.
Yep.
What a heartbreak to move to Arizona, to beautiful Papago Park area, and then spend the next 8 years in litigation trying to... it's a mess, an absolute mess. And why don't we do soil inspections as we do home inspections.
Well, we've been actually trying to get the real estate community to call us, because quite often they'll get the home inspection and then they'll have 2 days left in the inspection time, and then they'll say, oh, the inspector said to call you. Can you get out here and do a full inspection and give us the report in 2 days? It's like, no, that's mission impossible. So what we're trying to do is to get realtors to call us at the beginning of the period. We'll go in and do a foundation inspection, just like a home inspection, and give them a clean bill of health. And now they've got a record of the floor levels. Should they ever have a question, maybe a plumbing break or some sort of insurance claim, they've got a baseline to compare it to in the future.
Well, I think that would be the homeowner tip of the week from Rosie on the House. If you're in the process of purchasing, in your purchase agreement, stipulate you'd like the buyer, the seller, to pay for a foundation inspection from Bob Brown's Arizona Foundation Solutions as a part of the home inspection process.
Right. Good idea.
Rosie on the House tip of the week right there. And if you would like to reach Arizona Foundation Solutions, give them a ring. Here's the number, 602-702-5390. You can find them in the certified directory at rosieonthehouse.com. Okay, hope that answers your question, Andrew. No, Bob does not legally have to disclose anything. The homeowner does, should they ever put it up for sale, in what's called the SPUDS document. Let's go to Diana in Central Phoenix and welcome her to the conversation. Good morning, Miss Diana.
Good morning. I've really enjoyed your program, and have used a lot of your hints in a lot of home repairs, but this one has me stumped.
Okay.
Okay, I have a room addition that Dad put on as his man cave in 1985.
Okay.
There was a pear tree by it that cracked the foundation. We removed the pear tree and then sunk additional barrier because water was coming through the floor, 18 inches deep around the whole room to try and, you know, stop the water intrusion. We have flood irrigation, and but everywhere in the room, if you put something that is not porous on it, like a cat bowl or a piece of plastic, water is still coming through the floor. And so right now, I've had to rip out the carpets. I have everything sitting on pallets, because anything I put on the floor, if it's a piece of cardboard, it will mold because so much water is still coming through the floor.
Okay.
And I've had a construction friend come over. We've looked at, is there a broken pipe under there? We did turn off all the water, see if there's a water leak. There was nothing like that. And so I'm still stumped as why is there so much water coming through the floor. There's effervescence. There's the white stuff. Part of it's crumbling, and it's like, okay.
All right. All right. Bob, room additions pose a pretty common problem for y'all.
Well, we do a lot of repairs on room additions because, frankly, what you're doing is you're constructing off the prepared pad. When I mean the dirt. That when the builder prepares that dirt pad, he'll go outside the boundary of the house by a few feet, but not much more than that. And so you're putting new footings on dirt that has not been prepared, and those generally settle. So that's a fairly common problem. And we've been doing a lot of pre-construction piers for home additions for that kind of reason. In this particular case, though, I'm kind of interested in removing the tree. And so now you've created a root system that's going to probably deteriorate and leave voids. And if you have flood irrigation, I'm thinking that somehow it's possibly getting in that way. The other thing that I'd like to think about is, even though you've checked your pressure lines to make sure that your pressure lines are not leaking, most of the time the leaking lines are the waste lines, and you should probably call a leak detector and have those waste lines checked.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people ask me, you know, you can get moisture readers that'll tell you how much moisture is in your concrete. Another simple way is just duct tape a piece of cellophane to the floor, and you'll see the condensation build up on the bottom of the cellophane, the saran wrap.
Right, and they have calcium chloride dome tests that are pretty easy to stick onto the floor and read moisture coming up. The good news is that the moisture level system that we've developed also helps control moisture problems as well.
And I'm picturing at Diana's house for Dad's room addition, it's three-sided, attaches to the house on one side. Now, she says they've gone outside the – did you understand that? She went outside the footing and sunk some – some penetration. What do you call those?
Like a cutoff wall?
A cutoff wall. Another 2 feet down deep, hopefully trying to stop the moisture from infiltrating. That is a strategy y'all have used on other projects.
I have put in many cutoff walls. They're fairly expensive, and they don't stop everything because obviously you can't put them all the way down to the center of the earth.
Right. And water will seek its own level. So as soon as it gets underneath the bottom of that cutoff wall, it migrates back up to its natural level.
Correct.
So in her situation, I'm thinking the moisture level monitoring system that y'all have. Why don't you talk a little bit about this? Because it's very, very intriguing technology.
Yeah, it's actually developed out of the environmental remediation world, where they repair or remediate like bad chemicals in the soil. And they've used these techniques called active soil depressurization, where they create a vacuum in the soil and draw the water and chemicals towards one end where they can be collected. We simply adapted that to draw that moisture in the soil, the vapors in the soil, and expel them out the top, which is similar to how radon systems work. And basically, it's expelling radon, any harmful gases, and the air that has a lot of moisture in it, which then dries out those soils.
Yeah, I would think this particular situation may be an actually prime candidate for taking a look at that particular system, wouldn't you?
Correct. I mean, it's very good. The system is very good for maintaining moisture levels underneath slabs.
Okay, Miss Diana, that's Bob Brown's Arizona Foundation Solutions. The number is 602-702-5390. Now, you recently did this for a client of ours up in North Scottsdale, and they were experiencing center house surging. And you go in there. Explain what you do. You actually cut a hole in the concrete floor.
Yep.
And then you install pipes.
Correct. It's actually a fairly simple process, usually done in one day. You cut a 6-inch hole in your slab. You kind of dig a little cavern underneath the slab, maybe 2 foot in diameter. And you attach a plastic pipe that runs up through the attic. You had to attach a fan to it that runs forever. And you expel that fan out the top. And then you drill intake ports right under the slab on the perimeter on the outside that allows the dry air to come in those holes, migrate across the ABC layer, hit that little cavern and be sucked up and expelled out the roof.
And y'all actually place moisture meters in the soil that can be read?
Right. We'll put some sensors down in the soil. And what we want to do is, if at some point, it may be many years down the road, if that soil dries out too much, we don't want to create a problem. We want to be able to maintain the moisture level at a certain level, not too dry to actually create a dish problem.
And at that point, then you're regulating the timer on the fan?
Well, actually, what we're doing is we're closing off the intakes.
Oh, okay. All right.
And that way, the fan can keep running and still mitigate any radon or any other kinds of harmful gases.
A solution that's really tens of thousands of dollars cheaper than any other way we ever had to fight this before.
Yeah, literally magnitude orders of 10 or 20 cheaper.
Wow, that's tremendous. Bob Brown of Arizona's Foundation Solutions. We're going to take a quick break here and come back. We've got Doug on hold, as well as time for another call if you'd like to sneak in at 1-888-767-4348.